The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Now, I don't think I have ever heard that psalm song sung so powerfully as we had. If you did not hear it, you can borrow my hearing aids. But that's the energy we're supposed to have in proclaiming the gospel message. That's what we're supposed to be doing, shouting it out, not being afraid that what will people think of me if I talk to them about my faith? What will they say if I talk about Jesus? What will they do if I offer to pray with them at the moment that I'm talking with them? We're so afraid, and yet, well, the fear comes from Satan. It's not from God, it's from Satan. And when we give in to that fear, we're basically saying, "Satan, you guide me. Because I can't get through the narrow gate, therefore I'm going to go through the wide gate with you and everyone else that doesn't want to go to heaven." But we, as members of the church, our commission is to go out to the whole world and proclaim the good news of salvation. That's what the church is all about. It's not about buildings, as beautiful as they might be. It's not about organizations within the church. It's about you and me, because we are the church. It's about us going forth and sharing our faith in Jesus Christ with others. Before God created the universe, he had the church in mind. He knew he was going to create it. And when I say church, I'm not just talking about the Christian church, but even Israel was the original church. We use the word ecclesia, Greek for church. We use that of the assembly of the Israelites. So they were the original church. They had the same commission that we have, to bring everybody to God. Now, some Israelites thought, "No, we're not going to go the pagans." But God said to Abraham, "Through you and your descendants, everyone will be invited into the kingdom of God." And that continues today. God wants every single person to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. And so if we are faithful Christians, we need to make sure that we're going out and proclaiming the gospel message. And what we're talking about here basically is evangelization. Again, that's why the church was created, to evangelize, to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And if you want to remember the story in a very easy fashion, and this is our story, this is the story we're called to proclaim, four easy steps. Number one, God created everything and it was good. creation. Man and woman sinned and were expelled from the Garden of Eden, the fall. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, and through his death and resurrection, he opened the gates of heaven, redemption, salvation. And then the fourth step, and that's where we come in, knowing all of these other three steps, how do we respond? How do we respond? Do we say, well, that was nice, Lord, thank you very much? Or do we say, Lord, I am so grateful. I commit myself to you. I commit myself to this good news, and I'm going to go out into the world, and I'm going to proclaim it to every creature. And if you remember, before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, that's what he said to all those who were there gathered. He said, go to Rome and build a big church. No, he didn't say that. He said, go out and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. That is why the church exists. It is to evangelize. It is for the salvation of souls. Maybe some of you say the morning offering, which includes something like that, or the prayer to the Lord about the fruits of the Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls. That's what we're called to do. Now, you may say, who am I to save souls? Well, we're the church. We have been empowered by God to go forth as his partners, as the vehicle of salvation. So God's not going to come down and stand in front of everybody and say this, that, or the other thing. He leaves that up to you and me. And through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have everything we could possibly need or want in order to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and proclaim it. So what's standing in the way of that? Because if we look at the world, we see what's going on. What's the reason for it? Well, we're the reason for it. You may say, well, I didn't do any of that. I'm not violent. But when we refuse to go forth and proclaim Jesus Christ and to teach other people about the goodness of God, we allow evil to enter the vacuum and take over. And that's what's happening. So we are at fault for that. To the extent that we step back and have our own comfortable version of our faith, we are going to be judged accordingly. And God's going to say, well, you didn't do what I commissioned you to do. And today's readings certainly are about judgment. We've had readings in the past few weeks about judgment, about heaven and hell and the reality of heaven and hell. Now, hopefully we want to be saved. And if that's true, the only way we can be saved is by being concerned about the salvation of everyone else, which means we have to take this good news out into the world. And if you want to take those four steps that I gave you and reduce it to one word, which is really our story, the story of salvation, that one word is Jesus. It is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Scripture tells us that. He is the reason that we have hope, that we have joy. Now, don't you want to share that with other people? Don't you want to share that joy of Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he suffered and died for us? He didn't have to do that. He did not have to save us. But he kept coming after us. He kept following us. He keeps leading us. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Because in baptism, you and I become another Christ in the world, which means we have to go forth, proclaim the good news. We have to heal people, feed people, raise the dead. Still happening in the world. People of faith are raising people from the dead because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're called to claim those gifts and to use them so that people will want to know what it's all about. And then we can say that one word, it's about Jesus. So you and I, as members of the church, are called, again, not to live comfortably, but to live radically as Jesus did. He didn't have a condominium. He didn't have a suitcase. He didn't have money in his pouch. He trusted in other people. And that's what we need to do as well, to go forth and proclaim the gospel. We need to do it because that is how we are going to be saved. And that is how we share the gift of salvation with other people. So we're all in the same boat. We need to find ways of going past that fear, again, which is of the devil, so that we can share the good news about Jesus Christ with everyone. And every one of us has been empowered, again, through baptism, to pray for and with other people. You know, it's easy to say, I'll pray for you, and then go home and pray for them. That's a very good thing. But it's even more powerful when at that moment we say, can I pray with you right now for your need? It's an amazing thing when people see that. And if you're afraid to do it alone, well, Jesus has the answer to that too. When he sent out the apostles, when he sent out the disciples, he didn't send them out one by one, but rather two by two. So as a community of believers, we're called to link up with other believers, to support one another, to share our faith with one another, to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ, so that we can be the partners with God in the ongoing work of salvation. So this coming week, whether you're retired, and incidentally, there's no retirement when it comes to our faith, right? No retirement. I heard an evangelical pastor the other day talking about that. It was such a good homily. You never retire from your faith in Jesus Christ. You always have to find ways of growing and sharing it. But this coming week, whether you're working, whether you're retired, whether you're going to school, whatever it might be, think ahead of the opportunities that are already there or will be given to you to share your faith, to say to someone, especially if you know people who are living in darkness, despair, who are hurting, who are wounded, to share something about the good news of Jesus Christ, which is all about healing. It's all about joy. It's all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's about building up the kingdom of God. So think about that ahead of time so that when that opportunity comes, you're going to be saying to yourself, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to them and I'm going to ask if I can pray for them right there. Or maybe give them a booklet and say, why I'm giving you this booklet about Jesus Christ, whatever it might be. So that's your commission, that's my commission, and we need to keep challenging one another. Maybe every week as we come into church, say, okay, who did you evangelize this week? With whom did you share the good news of Jesus Christ this week? How did it go? What did you try that seemed to be really successful? And then to keep up that conversation and that commitment, because we do have the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. We have that power in our lives to go forth and really change the world. But again, it's up to us to make that commitment, to say, yes, Lord, that's what you want for me, that's what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. So as we continue our Eucharist, as we are going to be nourished by the very flesh and blood of the Almighty God, let's pray that we will recommit each day to what began in our baptisms, to be heralds of the good news, to be apostles, to be disciples, people always, always looking for ways to proclaim the gospel so that not only we will be saved, but that everyone will be saved.